There is a display out in the foyer about the Christmas boxes, and I encourage you to stop by and look at all the material. I encourage you to get involved in giving towards it. If you have any questions about it, please see Letitia Baker with more details and anything else that might be going on with that, and she would be glad to help you with that. It's a great opportunity. Our kids have been doing it for a long time, and we need to get involved as adults to do it. There's been a few Christmases where the church just had to take care of a lot of that, so I'm asking the people to step up and let's give as a church into these shoeboxes and stop by the display today. It was reported last week that Rochelle and I were at a wedding. Wrong. Now, our assistant pastor and our associate pastors are at a wedding in Illinois, I believe, Indiana. So they're in Indiana. So Rochelle and I were not at a wedding. Now, we're going to be going to a wedding, but it wasn't last Sunday. We were both ministering on Saturday and Sunday at Church of the Tomorrow in Oklahoma City, where Overseer Dan Boone is the lead pastor. That's where we were last week. So just to clear that up, after talking to Rachel, she went, oops, please report, please share that I said the wrong thing. So anyway, they're the ones at a wedding this weekend. We were ministering last week. We're about to move into part six of my series on Who is God? I was having a conversation with one of my seminary professors this past week at Northwind Seminary as I am completing my master's degree in pathway theology. And as I was talking to him, I realized how important this series is, Who is God? And the importance of the series and why it needs to be preached, it needs to be taught. I do wish more people were here to hear this particular message, and I'm hoping that they are watching online if they're not here today, or we'll go back. But one of the things about this series is to know why I'm preaching the series, and I'm not going to rehearse all that again. I'm going to encourage you to go back to the very first couple of messages that I preached, and you can go watch them online at North Elevation Church YouTube or Facebook, or you can go to our website and listen to them. But whatever you've missed, you need to go back and listen, because it's important to know the reality that one name does not contain the fullness and wholeness and completeness of the God we serve. His name is much more than just God. It's names. And it's important that we know those names. It's important that we understand those names. We know what they mean, that we understand that we need to use them. We need to declare them. We need to speak them. We need to pray them. Because it's very, very important that we know these names if we're going to fully understand who God is completely. So his names are very, very important that we know them. I'll read one pen truth from the past messages. God's names contain tremendous power, and we must use them. A few weeks ago, a couple of weeks ago, I believe it was, that I took one of the names or a couple of the names, and I shared with you how you might pray it. Today, we're going to pray together today concerning the name of God that we are going to learn about today. Now, my message today has a serious point to it, way different than the other messages, because I want to settle something that has been happening in the church and outside the church and really been going on since medieval times that I'm going to put my foot down on today, and we need to view our God in the right way today. So have an ear to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us. I'm going to ask you to stand as we honor God with our opening passage of Scripture this morning, and it comes from 1 Peter 2:25. Once you were like sheep who wandered away, but now you have turned to your shepherd, the guardian of your souls. Father, we come to you now in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, as we learn more about you today, that we settle some things and that we watch carefully what comes out of our mouth and is formed in our minds concerning you. Father, give us the knowledge and wisdom to walk out who you really are. And Father, today I ask for the Holy Spirit to open ears and hearts to receive what the Spirit of the living God wants to share with us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. His name is Jehovah Rohi. Jehovah Rohi means the Lord my shepherd. Now, the Lord, we're good at saying, oh, my Lord, but it means something when you say, Lord, my shepherd. There's a whole new thing takes place the moment you use the word shepherd. And Jehovah Rohi is the Lord my shepherd. Question has to be asked, is he truly your shepherd? We're always asked, is he your Lord? I'm going to ask you, is he your shepherd? It's important that you answer that question to yourself. Is he really my shepherd? Now, Max Lucado said something that has to be repeated. He said, want to change your life? Begin by saying, the Lord is my shepherd. But to declare the Lord is my shepherd really begins with the declaration and to believe that he is my shepherd. And he is saying, if you're going to change the world, he needs to be your shepherd. Let that sink in for a moment. You're going to change the world, is he your shepherd? There's a big difference in a shepherd and what we're going to talk about today, a hireling. Is he your shepherd? Or are you looking for a hireling? A lot of churches are. That's why things don't go well. We're going to learn a lot about the shepherd this morning in a short period of time, get to a point that I need to make, and then we're going to pray today. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord my shepherd, literally means he protects, he provides, he leads, he guides, and he watches over us. Do we believe that or do we not believe that? Do we believe it half the time or all the time? Do we believe it part-time, a few hours a week, or do we believe it 24/7? No matter what's going on. You know, we've got, as the church, we're told over and over in the Bible, and we see it through the disciples, we see it through Jesus, we see it especially through Paul. No matter what, is he our shepherd? We think the moment things go bad, we don't have a shepherd anymore. No, you do. He's your shepherd. Who protects, he leads, he guides, he watches over us, he makes provision for us. Penn Truth, Jehovah Rohi will care for us compassionately as a powerful yet patient shepherd. And I'm going to start drawing from that how we need to view our shepherd and not the way it's been viewed. Today, most people don't even know a shepherd. They don't know a true shepherd. They don't have any kind of relationship with a true shepherd in today's world. A lot of what a shepherd was has been lost. Today, we have sheep farmers who have hired hands who are taking care of the sheep. There's a problem with that. They're hirelings. They're not shepherds. They're hirelings. It's a job. It's a paycheck. They're here today, gone tomorrow. Somebody new is now working with the sheep. It's been a proven fact that that's not good for sheep. In the natural realm, it's not good for sheep. But that's the world we live in now. People have sheep, but they have other people, hirelings. There's not an investment from the hireling, okay? There's not the investment. There's not the commitment. First time things go wrong or go wrong too many times, they're gone. It's just, you can go check and find out what the rollover is in people who work for sheep farmers. There's no commitment. It's just a job. Here today, gone tomorrow. But in biblical times, and we need to start living in biblical times again, shepherds were all in 24/7, personally invested in the sheep. It wasn't a paycheck. It was a full-on lifestyle. Shepherds would spend months at a time away from their families to take care of the sheep. Is that an investment? That's investment. Sheep were almost like part of the family, even though they also provided an income. They also provided needs that they had within their clans, but they were like a part of the family. Shepherds were all in. They engaged the sheep on a personal level and took care of them. Not only that, they were there when they were born, and they were there when they died. They were all in. They were there when they were injured, and a shepherd would do everything he possibly could to mend the wound of one of the sheep. To the point that shepherds would carry sheep. Have you seen a full-grown sheep? Shepherds would pick them up while they're mending, and they would carry them for miles and miles. Now, that's a shepherd. Hirelings aren't going to do that. Not for long. Because that's not what they're not all in. It's just a job. They're just following someone else's lead, someone else's orders. Also, shepherds would fight off predators. Hand-to-hand combat, if necessary. Remember, they didn't have shotguns. They had a staff. And some might have a sword. And I've read documented stories where they fought off predators hand-to-hand. Got in there, took care of the sheep. It's also proven, if you read some stuff, stories from farmers who are sheep farmers who have hired hands, how many of them run off when danger comes. There's a difference between a hireling and a shepherd. Hirelings bounce around, shepherds stay. Just think about that for a moment. They were there when they were born, and they were there when they died. That's a true shepherd. I have a pin truth towards this. Sheep had faith in their shepherds because they knew them, trusting them with every facet of their lives. After all, the shepherd was all in. It's important to know that they were all in. Now, I'm going to share with you now, in just a moment, a passage of Scripture where Jesus is sharing with the people the difference between a hireling and a shepherd. This passage of Scripture is well known in most of the church, but they're not listening. Listen carefully to the Word of God from Jesus. Beginning in John 10, verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. Is he a good shepherd no matter what? I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. Verse 13, he flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. Hirelings don't do that. And I have other sheep that are not of this field. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. This statement needs to be made. I keep facing it too much. 37 years of ministry, pretty much just ministering almost every day, throughout the day, I find this. In and out of the church. He is not our hireling that we can lead around the way we want him to go, the way we want things to be. He's not our hireling at our beck and call to do everything we want. Anybody with me? He's not our hireling. He's not here to fulfill my personal desire 24/7 the way I want it. Because I'll tell you what, he'll give you the desires of your heart, talks about if it's according to his will. You know, a lot of our desires are not good for us. We think they are, but a lot of them are not. But we got a lot of people trying to lead the shepherd. You don't lead the shepherd. Everybody wants a hireling. They wanted hirelings back then. Jesus is making a point. I am not a hireling. I am the shepherd. And he is not here for us to lead. He is here as our shepherd to follow. To follow. We have to do, remember my sermon series at the beginning of the year? Self-sacrifice. Are we going to live a sacrifice life? Are we going to make sure that we're in constant connection with the cross? Are we going to do that? And then it's self-examination. Am I trying to get the shepherd to the point where I can lead him into what I want and he becomes a hireling and not my shepherd? You don't want that, because that brings separation. He is not a hireling. He is a shepherd. Jehovah Rohi is a good shepherd to follow, because he's all in 24/7. He'll do what a hireling will not do. That's just a fact. He'll do what a hireling won't do. There are just limits to what a hireling will do. And if they're pressed too hard, they're off someplace else. I've watched it over and over and over and over and over again. There's a difference. Our God is not a hireling. He is our shepherd. He is Jehovah Rohi. Now I'm going to step into probably the most famous passage of Scripture about Jehovah Rohi, my shepherd. But I want to state this. It's not heard well. It's not really being heard. It's being read, but it's not being heard in the way that we need to. Matter of fact, it's a passage of Scripture we should be praying often. Now, it's a passage of Scripture that's used in a lot of funerals. I'm about to do a funeral tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. Or 12. I have to be there at 11. And I'm not taking anything away from the passage of Scripture of how it comforts families, okay? But I'm speaking to the church on how we need to dig down into what that passage of Scripture is speaking to us concerning Jehovah Rohi, okay? The Lord, my shepherd. Now, I'm going to go slow here, and I may pause more than once, and when I do, Kathy's going to pull it down so that you don't just keep reading along and not hearing what needs to be heard. Psalms 23, verse 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need." Pause. Off the screen. Think. Is he all you need? Is he that shepherd? Is he that shepherd? Is he all you need? If nothing else, if you gain nothing else, you got nothing else for the rest of your life on this earth, just having him as your shepherd, is that enough? His son died for us. Is it enough? Well, the Bible says I can have that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, can we come to the simple landing that God is enough as my shepherd? He'll provide, he'll protect, he'll oversee me, he'll watch, he'll guide me, he'll lead me. Is he enough? What was the psalmist declaring? He's enough. My shepherd is enough. My shepherd is enough, and I can get out of the way, and he'll take care of things. He's enough. Verse 2, he lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. Is that a good father? I had the Holy Spirit ask me one time, he said, why do you not want to go and lay down by a stream? I said, I do. He said, get out of the way. God's trying to get you over to the stream, and you keep trying to change direction because you think you know better. You know how to get to that stream better than he does. No, your father created the stream. He knows how to get you there. Come on. He guides me along. Let's go to verse 3. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Uh-oh. Wait a minute. I want him to guide me, lead me, direct me so that I can honor myself. You know what God's after? He wants to bless you beyond your wildest imagination so that you can give him the glory. Who's getting the glory for the things that are happening in your life? The good things. I give glory to God when things aren't going right. I said, God, you know, you're just awesome. I don't know how you're going to fix this. This is a mess, but we're going to trust you to fix it. I give you praise and honor and glory. Who's getting the glory out of our life? Verse 4, even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. Why will you not be afraid? Because he's enough. He's my shepherd. He's not my hireling. He's a shepherd. I don't have to fear the darkness. You're going to fear the darkness if you have a hireling because they might run away. He's a shepherd. He's right there. I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. What a declaration. Because the psalmist knew the shepherd. As a shepherd, not a hireling. The psalmist wasn't trying to get him to be a hireling. He was receiving him as the shepherd and following the shepherd. Very important that we understand that Jehovah Rohi is a good shepherd worth following and getting ourselves out of the way. It's important. Now, I want to drill down into our real landing spot today as we move towards the prayer that we are going to pray using the powerful name of Jehovah Rohi. Isaiah 40:11 says, like a shepherd, he takes care of his flock. He gathers the lambs in his arms. He carries them in his arms. He gently helps the sheep and their lambs. This is the tender compassion and love and kindness and all the things that go along with this loving God. He's a good shepherd. Then, in Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 4, we read this. For the Lord your God, Jehovah Rohi, goes with you to fight on your behalf against your enemies to give you victory. Our shepherd is a loving, kind, gentle, compassionate God, but he's also a very powerful God who will destroy your enemies on your behalf. Here's the critical moment of understanding that we need to get today. Jehovah Rohi is neither a bully or a weak, skinny shepherd. And in all the ministry I do, you'd be surprised how often that's exactly how he's viewed. Well, he's just a bully. Well, he's just too weak to help me. He is neither. He is not weak, and he's not a bully. He's a shepherd. In the truest sense, he is a shepherd. Medieval paintings that carried through the generations showed him either as a bully or as this weak shepherd. My God is not a bully, and he's not weak. We need to get that out of our mind, out of our vocabulary. Is he your shepherd, or is he something else? We might be able to declare that about hirelings, but not about the shepherd. He's not that. Shepherds were anything but weak. They were strong. They would fight off predators. Think about the fact carrying a full-grown sheep for miles. Is that a weak shepherd? No, that's a strong shepherd. But at the same time, that same shepherd will stay up all night mending the wound of a sheep without sleep because of the compassion and care for that one sheep. They were not weak, and they were not bullies. They were strong shepherds who knew how to love and how to protect. Pope Francis said something that needs to be repeated. God thinks like the shepherd who lays down his life in order to defend and save his sheep. See, a good shepherd requires balance of might and tender compassion. And Jehovah Rohi is both. He's a mighty God, but he's a tender, compassionate God. Is he your shepherd? Do we want a shepherd or do we want a hireling that will lead us around the way we want it to be led? God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are greater than our thoughts. Why don't we just submit and surrender, as it was talked about this morning during worship, to the God, Jehovah Rohi, the shepherd, and let him take us where we need to go. Pen truth, Jehovah Rohi can fend off any attack, but he can also nurture us in love. That's the shepherd. And we need to reset our picture of our shepherd. And if we are trying to have a hireling, we need to repent and say, Father, I'm sorry. I'm going to receive you as my shepherd and stop trying to get you to do everything I want like a hireling. I'm just going to submit to you. It's in the submission to where the glory and the power run to. I've shared that already a few months ago. My final statement before we get to the prayer is this. The truth is, your path may appear frustratingly tricky at times, but you must believe that Jehovah Rohi is a good shepherd. You must trust Jehovah Rohi's choice of routes for your life. The psalmist said, he leads us beside the still waters. This passage is wrongly pictured as a vibrant, cool brook. And I'm saying this because I've heard people state it from the pulpit. This passage is wrongly pictured as a vibrant, cool brook rippling over smooth rocks. That's not what the Bible says. Here's the accurate picture on the canvas. It's a rich, cool stream where the waters are quiet. They're calm. This mirrors the quiet and peaceful spirit of an abiding trust in Jehovah Rohi's direction, provision, and protection. Is he your shepherd? Do you want a shepherd or do you want a hireling? Well, I'm going to tell you what, my God will not be a hireling. He'll be a shepherd, but he won't be a hireling. Is he your shepherd? That's the decision we have to make. Is he really our shepherd? He will do the things that he said he will do. He will give direction, he'll give provision, and he'll protect us. You can't look at certain circumstances, situations, or past things that have happened and declare that he is not Jehovah Rohi. He is always Jehovah Rohi. Always. I'm going to ask you to stand. Put your devices aside, if you would, please. I know some of you take notes with them. I want you to be focused right now in this prayer. Late last night, as I was just talking to the Lord, he began to well up in me a prayer. And I began to pen the prayer. And I'm going to pray this prayer in behalf of all of us. Here's what you need to do is clear your mind right now. Get your mind off whatever it is you're thinking about that's not connected to this sermon. Sever that and get your mind focused on what the words you're about to hear and make them your own as I pray. Because God doesn't do this very often where he just begins to download a prayer to me for all of us together. Where I'm presently talking to you, he downloads prayers to me and I pray over you in my prayer room, in my prayer chair. Matter of fact, it's red to remind me of the cross. It's a place of dying. That's how I view it. But this prayer, we need to pray in our hearts and in our minds. As I pray it, the biggest thing, as Rochelle will tell you, get in agreement with it. Rochelle, sometimes I'm driving my mind, and she'll say, I need you to get in agreement with this. Like, I can see in your eyes, your mind's going, shut down, listen to what I'm about to pray, and get in agreement. I got Rochelle'd a lot. I still get Rochelle'd a lot when I'm driving. So anyway, let's pray. Jehovah Rohi, we lift up the battles we are facing today. You know all of them, even the ones we are facing in our own minds. Forgive us for fighting it by ourselves and not putting our full faith and trust in you, Jehovah Rohi. Prompt us in these moments where we want to fight the battles with our own hands to step out of the way so we don't get in your way. We release the battles to you, Jehovah Rohi. We surrender it all to you. Instead of clinching so tightly to the battle with our own power and our own hands, we open them up to you, Jehovah Rohi, and lay the battles down at your feet. We place everything on your throne, and we thank you so much that we don't have to face our battles here on earth alone. It's all in your hands now, Jehovah Rohi, and we trust you completely. And in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. You may be seated.